This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a tremendous hour coming up for you. We're going to be taking a look at a lot of baseball in this hour, not just MLB baseball, which is one of my favorites, but we have to look at some college baseball. Johnny Venezia, he does great work over at RotoWire and with the Breaking Bet podcast. He's going to be joining me in 15 minutes. Can LSU close out after a thrilling 1-0 win here on Saturday to be able to win the College World Series, or will we be getting a Game 3? I know that he was talking a lot about the pitching coming into the College Baseball World Series, and boy, was he absolutely correct there. So, he did a tremendous job on that front. We'll see what we get in game number two, and we've got ourselves a lot of fun there. We've got all 30 teams in Major League Baseball who are going to be showing off and showing out on this Sunday, so we're going to be breaking down a lot of games there. But additionally, we've got ourselves a Game 7 of the NBA Finals. We have to address that in a minute. First things first, we have to take a look at the absolute best team in the business. That'd be everyone behind the scenes here at VSiN. Everyone does such an absolutely tremendous job to be able to give you all the shows that you listen to and watch all throughout the day. 19 hours of live programming every single day, and it's made possible by producers like Johnny and John. They do such a great job of being able to set me up for success, making sure that everything is all crisp and clean with the show and that I am staying in line, which that is a very difficult task, and yet somehow, some way, they handle it all with a smile. This might be the most difficult task, so making me look halfway presentable in a video / moving picture format, which if you're watching on YouTube TV, VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, what have you, you're able to see everything in live HD and just really good clarity in general. And you're able to get all the live odds as well. And Jaren's, he does such a tremendous job with that. That is always very much appreciated. Fenos, he does an absolutely tremendous job on this front as well. And then if you're listening with regards to this show, you might be listening after the fact as well. Every single hour of every single show that is on the Apple Podcast feed, VSiN.com/podcast, or wherever you hear podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, list goes on and on. You're able to find that on the VSiN Bets Bets feed. You've got our guy Chris, who does such an amazing job there, and obviously SiriusXM Channel 158. Big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They are the best in the business, and because they do such a great job, I need to be on point with regards to my picks. And how about if we do dive in on Game 7 of the NBA Finals? And before I give you guys some of the picks, some of the analysis, I think that this is something that we do need to keep in mind right now with the OKC Thunder. In most places, 7.5-point favorite. Apparently, they just moved to 7 here at Circa as well. Right now, that total is a 214.5, but this is something that I feel like is going a little bit under the radar with this Game 7, and it's the coaching advantage I feel like the Indiana Pacers have. Not necessarily that you've got a better coach with regards to what you're going to be getting on the Indiana side of things with Rick Carlisle, but the fact that he's been here before, the fact that he has been in a finals, the fact that he got the job done with the Dallas Mavericks back when they had Dirk Nowitzki many, many years ago against Miami Heat versus a guy in Dagnall who's been, I mean, really, really tremendous for the OKC Thunder, the style that the OKC Thunder has. I mean, he has been so responsible for it, but I do think that that experience factor is so big, and the OKC Thunders just have not really been in a Game 7 like this, aside from a little bit of last year. So I do think that the experience factor, a coach that has been in these wars, have been in these situations before, I think that that's something that does need to be that you do need to be mindful of. Now, I do say that with continuing on the strategy that I've been doing all postseason long, especially in these Indiana Pacers games. If you've done absolutely nothing but just take a look at these Indiana Pacers game, bet the team that's down going into the fourth quarter to be able to make a comeback / be able to cover the spread, you have made yourself a whole bunch of money, especially when you've been betting on the Pacers whenever they've been able to get down. And we are seeing this line start to shrink more and more and more. As I mentioned, we now have a line of 7 in a few spots as well, so I do find that to be very intriguing. If I absolutely had to pick a side right now, I'd be taking the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, would want to be getting a plus 7.5 rather than a +7. You never know when that half a point is going to be coming in. Wouldn't necessarily want a money line here. I do think that that would be a little bit of a big ask, but certainly the Indiana Pacers have been a game opponent all season long. And I mean, with this Indiana Pacers team, I do think that it's just so intriguing to take a look to see what they're going to be doing in this game seven, because I feel like this is a little bit correlated. If you think that the Indiana Pacers are going to be able to cover this game, you probably want to be taking a look at the over, especially if you think that they're going to be close enough for perhaps some late game fouling as well, because I think that that's a little bit of a dynamic of it. If it's a blowout, they're down 20 points with 2 minutes remaining, even though it's the NBA Finals, you're not going to be fouling down 15 plus points with 2 minutes remaining. So I do think that that plays a little bit of a part of it as well. But I also just think that it's a style in general that you've got for this OKC Thunder team as well. And I think that for the OKC Thunder, they're going to need to really lock down on the glass, because I do think that this is going to be a game that is still going to have the relatively similar tempo that we've seen through the first few games. But I mean, the shooting has been a little bit cold throughout the series, not going to lie. You've seen the OKC Thunder have a lot of games where they've shot sub 45% from the floor. You've seen a lot of games where they haven't necessarily been as effective as you're typically thinking. So I think that that is a very interesting dynamic with everything as well. And I do think that for the OKC Thunder, they're going to be able to have a lot of guys go over the rebound prop. And we'll dive into that right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. But first things first, if you're looking for some great betting splits, you want to be coming here to VSiN, because we get it straight from the source. We're getting them from both Circa along with DraftKings Sportsbooks. That gives you the insights as to where the sharp action is really landing. Circa is known for taking some of the biggest bets out there from professional bettors, while DraftKings, they're giving you a bit of a broader market perspective. This means that you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move the line. See the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every single game across every single sport. That helps you bet smarter, that makes you more informed when you make your bets as well. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. That's over at VSiN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. Now let's take a look at some of these player props, and I really do think that what Scott Seidenberg was putting down in terms of live bet Saturday is very true, and it's something that I was taking a look at even before he mentioned it. Isaiah Hartenstein, right now you're able to find the over on 6.5 rebounds at +105. I just have to think that the OKC Thunder utilize him a little bit more. They had a bit more success when they put him back in the starting lineup in games number 5 and 6. Obviously, game 6 got away from them a little bit, but I do think that he plays a little bit of a bigger role here. I think that for Hartenstein, he's going to be able to leave his fingerprints on this game, because I'm just not bullish on Miles Turner. Like, Miles Turner was the only guy that really got bottled up in that game 6 triumph for the Indiana Pacers. For this Pacers team, I think that they're just built a little bit more through their backcourt, / Pascal Siakam. Siakam, I think that this was a hilarious nickname. I saw it on social media. They're calling him, if the Indiana Pacers win, they're going to call him the Thundertaker. Like, I think that that's tremendous. A-plus whoever came up with that. But I mean, for the Thundertaker, right now you're able to get his rebound prop in a lot of places right around about a 7.5. That is one that I'd be taking a look at the over on. I don't know if he necessarily goes over his points prop. I think that the OKC Thunder are realizing, hey, this guy is hurting us a little bit too much. And Tyrese Haliburton, he looked to me fine in game number 6. Maybe he was dealing with a little bit of a hamperance, but I don't think that the injury is too severe. Like, I thought that he was really going to be much less than 100%, and he was very much rock solid. He was able to go over his player prop, despite the fact that he really didn't play much at all in the fourth quarter. So that's a little bit of an intriguing part. I know that from Terrell Furman, who joined the program a little bit before on Live Bet Saturday, he was talking about this with Andrew Nembhard, the way that he's been able to come alive here in the postseason. If I'm looking at one player really over his points prop, actually two, because I do think that Ben Mathurin and that zigzag theory, you're able to go over 7.5 points, you're able to get a solid number there. I do like that. But I do think that also for Nembhard, he's a guy that could be able to come alive. He's been shooting much better here from the outside during the postseason rather than the regular season. Keep in mind, during the regular season, he was actually shooting less than 30% from three-point range. So I look at those two guys to perhaps be able to go over. Now, guys I'm looking at for the under, I just don't know if I see it with Jalen Williams of the OKC Thunder. His player prop is in some places right around about a 22.5. I've seen it straight 21.5 as well. But, hey man, for Jalen Williams, I just don't know if he delivers. Like, he does a great job of having his fingerprints all over the game. He does a great job of being that number two to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from a scoring perspective, but I just don't know if he's able to persevere and give you north of 20 points in this game. So that's a guy that I'd be taking a look at the under on. Chet Holmgren is going to be playing a large role in this game. His defense has been tremendous. He's been solid on the boards. His offense has been shoddy. That's the best way of being able to put it. Right now, that over-under is 15.5. I don't think he gets 16 points in this game, so that's a fascination, and I think that this one could be a big, giant kicker. How you think that the game is going to be going might be how you think Obi Toppin plays. When Obi Toppin has been good, we saw that in game number one when he buried those five threes. We saw it in game number six. He was a leading scorer for the team with 20 points. Typically, good things happen for the Indiana Pacers. Right now, his player prop is 10.5. If you think that the Pacers are going to get lambasted, perhaps you take him to the under. If you think that the Pacers are going to be able to cover slash perhaps win this game outright, perhaps you take a shot on him as well. And I think that this is another interesting little wrinkle as well. This gets into a little bit more of a, shall we say, inside baseball chat, because with the OKC Thunder, in a lot of places, you're finding their money line in that neighborhood about minus 285, in some places even minus $3. If you don't want to pay that on the OKC money line, you think that they get the job done, but you don't want to quite lay the -7, you could look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to win finals MVP. This is at minus 205, because here's the big thing. If the Thunder win the final, who else would be able to take this away from him? Like, you would need a historic performance from Jalen Williams to be able to do so. Nobody else has done anything of worth, in my opinion, for the OKC Thunder. I'd be looking there if you're really looking at the Thunder to be able to win outright, but you don't want to lay that big money line, so that's always an option as well. What's always a great option is to talk college baseball as well. Johnny Venezia is one of the best in the business over at RotoWire. He joins me next on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line. We've got Johnny Venezia aboard. He does such great work over at RotoWire, taking a look at this great game of baseball that we all know and love. Additionally, he does a tremendous job with the Breaking Bet podcast as well. And Johnny, it's a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Greg, this is it, man. This is what I do it for. This is why I put in all the hours and the grind over, you know, the last 6 months for moments like this. I mean, how can anybody sit there with a straight face and tell me there is a better sport or a better postseason out there than college baseball and the College World Series? It just simply cannot be done. The limit does not exist. College baseball is, bar none, the best sport with the best postseason in all of American sports. No questions asked.
And we saw that on display here on Saturday with the LSU Tigers getting the job done 1-0. A little bit of a Cossie steal attempt from Coastal Carolina in the middle of that game was a bit, shall we say, rough for them, to say the least. But just how do you take a look at things right now? Because you joined me a few nights ago on this very program. You said LSU was probably going to get the job done in game one. You gave Coastal Carolina a puncher's chance at game two, but you said overall LSU was going to get it done in what you thought was going to be a low-scoring series. And so far, so good on your predictions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just kind of comes with the nature of watching these two teams all year. And Kate Anderson, what a way to go out, dude. Let's give a round of applause. And you know what the scary thing is? For all of America that doesn't watch the sport or, you know, doesn't know who Kate Anderson is and just kind of tuned in for the first night, he comes in on the biggest stage in the sport. There was a complete game shutty with 10 strikeouts, and he didn't even have close to his A-plus stuff tonight. I mean, that's what an ace is. And he's a guy I've been talking about for the last 6 to 8 weeks about the rise in his draft potential. Like, coming into the year, he was probably like a mid to late second rounder. He's a first-time weekend starter coming into the year. And not only has he jumped to a first-round pick and a top-five pick, but maybe the 1-1. And he might have sealed the deal tonight. Just two outstanding starts in the College World Series. Kate Anderson, I said it before, I'll say it again. True sugar Shane McClanahan vibes. This kid is an absolute dog. And got to make sure to give some credit to Cam Flukie for Coastal Carolina. He pitched a hell of a game as well. Just a true show. If you love pitching duels, this is the series for you, man. And we got a great taste in game one.
Yep, we certainly did. And game number two, a very tight line right now. Coastal Carolina is minus 110. LSU is minus 120. We're seeing that total of an 8.5 shaded down very much to the under. I know you were talking about this. For Coastal Carolina, you felt like if they were going to take a game in this College Baseball World Series, it was going to be game number two. How do you take a look at this right now? And do you feel like Coastal Carolina might be able to force this into a game three?
I got to say, I'm a little disappointed at these sports books for not giving us a line that I had originally mapped out in my head of maybe Coastal being around plus 110, plus 120. But they saw what Jacob Morrison did against Oregon State the other day. And listen, I the reason why I had Coastal winning this game coming in is just because I've seen this team a lot this year, and they will not go away. They got shut out tonight. Kate Anderson dominated them. Don't think that they're just going to pack it up and go home. That's not who they are. They're going to come back tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon ready to get the series even. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say Jacob Morrison is a pitching advantage over Anthony Ianson, because Anthony Ianson is a number one Friday ace on just about any program in the country. Like, this kid's the real deal. This is another guy who I talked about as – you know, one of my biggest risers in the draft this year. Anthony Ianson was a probably late second to third rounder coming in, potential-wise. Now, I think he's a first rounder, and if he has a good start tomorrow, he could be find himself in the top 20. So Ianson is a legit dog. So that's why I don't think Morrison's a necessary pitching advantage, but it's pretty close to even, you know, in their own ways. Like, Jacob Morrison's not a huge strikeout guy, but he's a 6'8 hoss. Coming off Tommy John, all he did was a two flat ERA, nearly 102 Ks at 22 walks in about 100 innings. That's all he did. Nothing special. Jacob Morrison is that guy, man. Sunbelt pitcher of the year. He's going to go out there and battle, and he's going to eat up a lot of innings for you. And, you know, I think what he's probably going to end up following against this LSU lineup that's extremely potent is what Cam Flukie did so well in game one. And, you know, that's really attacked the zone with fastballs, but mix in that curveball, that 12-6 curveball he has, and keep these hitters off balance. I mean, you looked at LSU's at-bats all night, they were uncomfortable. You know, Cam Flukie did a great job of mixing pitches, and I think that's what Morrison's going to do here to keep these Tigers off balance. Even though Morrison's not as big of a strikeout pitcher as Flukie is, he's still capable of going out there and striking out like 7 or 8 batters. So I think this is set up to be another great game, but ultimately – I think just the way Coastal typically is able to respond is why I give them a very slight nod. And when I say slight, I think I have Coastal like 53, LSU 47 in terms of percentages here. And with the wind blowing in tomorrow like it was today, the 8.5 under also seems really good. Two very rested bullpens. It's probably going to be a graveyard in that field. So I think Coastal in the under here at minus 110 is probably where I'd be looking for game two.
I love that look, as we've got Johnny Venezia. He does such great work over at RotoWire, joining me on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And you're also able to cash out with EdgeBoost. It's the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved, no usage fees, no minimums. You're able to earn cash back rewards when you use EdgeBoost. And when you go to edgeboost.bet, type in that promo code of CASH, C-A-S-H. That gets you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit of up to $25. That's edgeboost.bet. And I want to talk about this a little bit with you, Johnny, as well, because you mentioned the fact that you like the under. Both bullpens are relatively rested. Who do you think it helps a little bit more that we really didn't see a lot of bullpen usage in game number one? Because Anderson, he goes 9 complete innings. He was able to just absolutely lock down Coastal Carolina. And for Coastal Carolina, they only utilize one guy at their bullpen as well. So both of these teams very fresh on that regard as well.
I think the bullpen favors LSU. You know, one of my big things about them coming into the year was they're going to be 8+ arms deep. That doesn't even – like, they've missed their guy who was supposed to be their closer all year. Gavin Guidry was supposed to be their guy at the back end of the bullpen, but he's missed the entire year, and they still have 8 arms deep. We didn't even see my guy Chase Shores, 6'8", throws 102 with a disgusting slider. Like, Chase Shores is like my Paul Skeens mini me almost. But I think the fact is you have a lot more guys that have more juice coming out of that bullpen, and Coastal's bullpen's really good, but Carbone, who threw tonight, is their most high leverage guy. I don't think he threw a ton of pitches, so they should be pretty rested, but I'd probably give the bullpen a very slight edge to LSU just because they hadn't thrown and they have more guys that are just capable of putting hitters away with just pure power. So I think LSU in that regard has a very slight advantage. Like I could see this honestly being like a 2-1 or a 3-2 type of game tomorrow, low scoring, one or two run finish. It's going to be another masterpiece that we have on our hands in Omaha.
Absolutely, and you have referenced this masterpiece in the past when you've been talking with me. Chase Burns, a guy that we saw on the big stage a few years ago, he is going to be getting his MLB debut. Looks as though he's going to be making that start on Tuesday against the New York Yankees. What can people expect from Chase Burns in his MLB debut when he goes out for the Reds on Tuesday?
I've been calling for this for a long time. Last year, I've watched Chase Burns since his freshman year at Tennessee a few years ago. And, you know, last year I felt he was MLB ready right then. I mean, my thing I said in 2023 was I felt once Wake Forest polished him up, which they did, he was going to have the higher MLB ceiling than Paul Skeens. I stick by that. And that doesn't mean it happens right away, but that's over the course of a career. Chase Burns is a guy I talked about last year. He has the second best slider in all of baseball, regardless of level, behind maybe Dylan Cease. This kid is an electric factory on the mound. His fastball will get up to 102 with a slider that's basically 12-6. That's unheard of. He has a curveball, and he's working in a changeup as well. Chase Burns is the ultimate competitor. This kid is ferocious. And, you know, I took an 80-1 on him coming into the year because I felt he was going to be an early call-up. The Reds dragged him out with 8 unnecessary starts in AA, and they finally wised up and only gave him a few in AAA. This kid is a superstar in the making. We are going to be witnessing a future Cy Young winner. No joke, this is going to be one of the most fun prospects you will ever watch in your entire life. Chase Burns is 1,000,000% that guy. I'm looking forward to him against the New York Yankees on Tuesday, man. I really am. This is a guy that I know everybody's probably just learned about like an hour ago. He is the real deal. Chase Burns is going to be somebody that you're going to want in fantasy. He's going to be want to be somebody that you bet on. I don't care what his strikeout prop is. I'm going on the over. I'm going on the all over. This is the real deal. Higher MLB ceiling than Paul Skeens when it's all said and done in his career. Chase Burns, 1,000,000% that guy.
Johnny Venezia, you are the real deal as well, my friend. You do such great work over at RotoWire, and I always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Greg. Appreciate it.
Always great to be able to get Johnny aboard. And we left off talking about the Cincinnati Reds and Chase Burns making his MLB debut soon. How about if we look at the Reds for Sunday, though, up next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Back here on Cashing Out, I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be talking some baseball with Johnny Venezia. We talked a little pro baseball with one Mr. Chase Burns making his MLB debut in the next few days for the Cincinnati Reds. We also chatted about the College Baseball World Series, which just great theater on Saturday. 1-0, Cade Anderson goes out there, gets the job done for LSU, 130 pitches in a complete game shutout. Very good stuff right there. What we're going to be seeing for game number 2 and perhaps a game number 3. I know that Johnny was calling for it a little bit. It's going to be great. And this entire College Baseball World Series has been amazing as well. Love the fact that it's been getting more and more exposure because it is a great postseason and it's just a great product in general. So big thanks to Johnny for joining me in the last segment. And now how about if we turn our attention to the pros a little bit more, as we did leave off talking about the Cincinnati Reds. And while Chase Burns should be able to make a nice impact for them, he is not going to be on the field on Sunday, but instead they do have one of their other great pitchers who's going to be going in this game. So how about if we dive in? This is 953, 954 on the cards. On the card, as Andrew Abbott is going to be facing off against the Cards. And for the Cardinals, you've got Miles Michaelis on the bump for them. Relative pick'em game, I'm seeing the Cardinals as low as a -101 in some spots. For the Reds, well, -107, -110 there. And the total is in a lot of places a 9.5, shaded down to the under. And this is going to be very simple. I'm going to take a look at the overnight line move, and whichever team becomes like even money or better, that's the team that I'm going to be taking. I set the Cardinals as a very, very slim minus 102 favorite with Miles Michaelis. Pitches to a lot of contact. Not necessarily a guy that I love. He's getting fewer than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's kept the ball in the yard this year, giving up 0.7 home runs per 9 innings. And for the Reds, outside of Ellie De La Cruz, you just don't have a lot of power. Nobody else has really been able to give you north of 8 home runs this far this season. Matt McClain has been able to do an okay job of giving you power, but hitting below the Mendoza line of a 200, you've got the likes of TJ Friedl along Gavin Lux giving you north of a 360 on base. So those guys have been able to do a pretty rock solid job. But I do feel like for the Cincinnati Reds lineup, not knowing what you're going to get out of guys like Christian Encarnacion Strand, who just came off the injury list, what have you, that's a bit of trepidation. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, even though they've been in the upper half of the big leagues in terms of runs per game, you're not getting a lot of power out of these guys either, as right now you've got Wilson Contreras as the lone guy on the roster who's giving you 10-plus home runs this season. Now, you've got quite a few guys hovering in that neighborhood of like 8 to 9, as you've gotten that out of Lars Nootbaar, you've gotten that out of Nolan Arenado, but Arenado has not necessarily been the same himself this season, so that's a tad bit of an issue. And you've got two bullpens that I feel like they've just a little bit underachieved this year, but for the Cardinals, I do think that Ryan Helsley, who's already blown 5 saves this season, he's going to start to find a little bit more. You've got the likes of Phil Matone, Kyle Leahy, give me a sub-4 ERA, and for the Reds, just the lack of development for Alexis Diaz has really put the team behind the eight ball. Good news is if you're a Reds fan, you don't have to trot out there Emilio Pagan, who it just always feels like he gives up a home run at the wrong time. I think he's already given up 6 bombs this season, so that's been a little bit of an issue for them. But Tony Santian, give you a sub-325 ERA. Lyon Richardson has been solid, but keep in mind for the Reds, they had to use essentially a bullpen game on Saturday, so that's not necessarily great for this team. Now, what has been great has been Andrew Abbott. How about 2 runs or fewer allowed in all but 2 of his starts this far this season? .84 ERA, giving up less than a home run per 9. He has been tremendous for this team, but I do feel like there might be a little bit of regression with him. Giving up north of 3 walks per 9 innings is a little bit of a tough situation there. And for the Cardinals, I do think that they do a solid job playing some station-to-station baseball. The settle being between 9 to 9.5, I recognize that it's heating up out there in really the entirety of the country, but this just feels like a little bit of an overreaction. So I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on the under. Somebody told it an 8.3, and I'm going to be willing to take whatever team becomes the underdog. Set the Cardinals at a minus 102, so we'll see how this matriculates moving forward. But going to be taking the underdog, and I'm going to be taking a shot on this under as well, as it is cashing out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. What else we're cashing it out on is actually cashing in on, because we are going to be getting NFL football before we know it, and we're going to get you set for the upcoming football season with our all-in, shall we say, a package to be able to get you set. It's the early bird special that we run here at VSiN. You're able to get in for $175 to everything that we do this football season, all the way through the Super Bowl. This includes the NFL betting guide that's going to be coming out in 10 days. By the way, just made my picks for all the divisional winners that you're going to be finding in there as well. So that's on. I've got myself a under win total that I'm liking as well, and it involves a guy that used to play for the Green Bay Packers. So that's going to be a lot of fun. You get real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, a daily best bet email of everything our VSiN show hosts and guests are in on, live on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. You get everything that we do for $175 all throughout the NFL season by going to VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we take a look at a game that has a very high total here? This is 9.55, 9.56 on the card. And the reason why this total is so high, it's in Colorado at elevation in June. The Arizona Diamondbacks are on the road against the Colorado Rockies. Human pinata, I mean, Antonio Senzatella is on the bump for the Colorado Rockies. Brandon Fott is on the bump for Arizona. And totals in a lot of places, 12.5. I'm seeing at DraftKings a 13 on the board. And for the Diamondbacks, they're minus 205 on the money line. On the run line, you're really not saving a lot of juice. Right now, you're between about minus 150 to minus 155. This did open up at lowest, like, so I saw 137 out there. I saw, like, a 140 as well. Total on this game is 12.5. I'm back in on the Arizona Diamondbacks run line. I will continue to say it. 48 multiple run losses for this Colorado Rockies team. the only team in the National League with more total losses is the poopy Pittsburgh Pirates. It's not great, to say the least. Now, the Rockies have been playing better baseball. We have to give a little bit of credit where it is due. They were absolutely abysmal, and they were on pace perhaps to be the worst team in MLB history. They still might be the worst team in MLB history, but at the very least, they played a little bit better here recently. So we've got to give a little bit of credit where it is due. And if you're looking at the positives for the Colorado Rockies, this bullpen is not awful. Jimmy Herrigan, Victor Vodnik, who they did have to throw out there in this game on Saturday. Guys like this have been able to give you a sub 4 ERA. Juan Mejia has been relatively solid as well. But for Antonio Sensatella, 14.3 hits allowed per 9 innings. That's why I call him the human pinata. Like, for a normal baseball team, if you get 14 hits in a game, you're feeling like, man, we had an offensive outburst. I mean, that's Sunday afternoon, that's Tuesday night, that's Wednesday evening for Antonio Sensatella. And for Brandon Pfaadt, he once pitched the opposite of a no-hitter. Like, three starts ago, he went out there, he gave up 8 runs, and he did not get a single out. You've got a no-hitter, and you've got a no-outer. I know that our good friend Scott Seidenberg was calling it a yes-hitter, but I prefer to call it a no-outer. But for Brandon Pfaadt, ever since then, he's looked a little bit better, and I do think that he's going to find it here against the Colorado Rockies team that's averaging 4.2 runs per game at home. That is 19th in the big leagues, and you can say what you will about picking up Therio Estrada along with Orlando Arcia. These guys aren't really elevating the offense too much. Estrada's able to move the line a little bit, but it's not like Orlando Arcia has been the Mona Lisa Vito of being able to knock the ball out of the yard or anything like that. What he's really been is Hunter Goodman, 14-plus home runs. He has been really good for this Rockies team, but interestingly, he's hitting most of his home runs on the road right now, which I don't necessarily understand that. Jordan Beck has been able to give you 9 bombs. He's doing a solid job of getting on base. And Ryan McMahon has some of the biggest home and road splits that you're going to find. Guy is hitting well below the middle sign of 200 when he's on the road, north of 275 at home. And for the Diamondbacks, this is a unit that has been a top 6 team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. A little bit more muted in the game on Saturday as that one run final recently. They got the job done. The Diamondbacks did 5-3 to be able to cover that run line. But for the Arizona Diamondbacks, it has been a case where you've had Eugenio Suarez along with Corbin Carroll both be able to give you 20-plus home runs. And Suarez now up to 25 Jacksons this far this season. Doesn't necessarily hit for the world's greatest amount of average, though. He's all of a sudden up to a 250. You like to see that. Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, 4-hit game on Saturday. He's been able to give you a 400 on base. Randall Grichuk, I think, is going to be able to find it. You've got a lot of guys in general moving the line. Pavin Smith, north of 390 on base. I do think that for the Arizona Diamondbacks, this is a bit of a shaky bullpen. You need to use up Jalen Beeks, one of your better relievers, on Saturday, that they do find a way to be able to go out there, get the job done. Wouldn't want to go much past a minus 150 on the run line. I set mine at a minus 158, but we'll then go in there and set my total at a 12.2. I don't think that you're going to be getting some sort of a 1-0 game or anything like that, but 12.5, especially if you can get the 13, a little bit too rich for my blood. So we're going to be taking a shot on the under, and I'm going to be taking a shot on the run line of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Something that hopefully you took a shot on was the Washington Nationals on Saturday, as they are right now finishing that game up. But we do need to take a look at what we're going to be getting on Sunday, because it's a Shohei Ohtani bump day. And right now for the LA Dodgers, you're finding them at north of $3 favorites with Shohei Ohtani on the mound. Now, I will say this, don't expect him to be giving you like some sort of a complete game no-hitter or anything like that, but we'll need to discuss it on the flip side. We saw Shohei Ohtani throw just one inning in his first start. I think that you're going to get a little bit more there, but we're going to talk about what you're getting in terms of the total of 9 as well on the flip side here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight. And holding it down if you were looking at plus money on Saturday. The Washington Nationals, they get the job done by a count of 7-3, as you had for the Washington Nationals 4 home runs. Nathaniel Lowe was able to get Lowe for a pair of home runs himself. So a congratulations to the Nationals there. Will they be able to duplicate it on Sunday against Shohei Ohtani is the question. And We saw this opening number at a 9 with regards to the total. It's now ticking up to 9.5 in a lot of spots. And for the LA Dodgers, you're going to be finding them as pretty much minus $3 favorites across the board. And if you're looking at that run line, boy, this thing has gone up high. This is right around minus 150, minus 155. And if this continues to move the way that it does, if we can get like a plus 140 with regards to getting a runoff with the Washington Nationals, that's actually where I'm going to look. Because with Shohei Ohtani, I absolutely love the guy, but he's not going to be going too deep into this game. Do I think that he pitches a little bit more than the one inning? Yes, and the reason why he only threw one inning in his first start of the season a few nights ago is that you can't have Shohei Ohtani do rehab starts. For Shohei Ohtani, the big league team needs his bat, so you can't send him down to AAA Oklahoma City, which that's the affiliate of the LA Dodgers, and be like, ah, spend a few weeks out there, have yourself some good, clean family fun and everything like that, and enjoy the Thunder. Well, that's not the case for our good friend in Shohei Ohtani, because he's right now giving you 25 home runs and north of 380 on base. You need that bat in your lineup. Right now, the odds on favor to be able to win MVP, so that makes things a little bit more unique there. Now, part of the handicap is, what do you think Ben Kasparis is going to do? He was the bulk guy behind Shohei Ohtani in that first start. He's been good. He's been able to give you 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, sub-3.25 ERA. I actually think that he could be a very fine starter for the LA Dodgers. He's been better than what you've been seeing out some of these other guys that have been trotted out there for them. So I need a little bit of credit where it is due. And for the LA Dodgers, overall for the season, it's been about a league average bullpen in terms of ERA. You've had guys like a Jack Dreyer be able to step up. They threw out there their not-so-A-plus guys here on Saturday, so they are going to have a little bit more in the tank here for the Sunday. And for the Washington Nationals, it has been a dreadful bullpen, to say the least. Dead last of the big leagues in terms of ERA. You've got Kyle Finnegan, who's been a solid closer, but you need to have a lead to be able to get to the closer, as you've got these guys like an Eduardo Salazar and Cole Henry, guys like this, posting up well north of a 3.5 ERA. It's went down the toilet bowl for Jackson Rutledge as well. Like, they've just had to have survival of the fittest with their bullpen. Like, they were trotting out their Lucas Sims begin the season. They had to just DFA him because he was giving you a big, giant nothing burger whatsoever, but for this Washington Nationals team, you're starting to get a little bit more power out of this team. Now, it is a little bit of an all-or-nothing team. You need to get a little bit more in terms of what Keibert Ruiz has given you since the beginning part of the season. Started off really hot. He's been tapering off a little bit, but you thought saw Nathaniel Lowe be able to get to home run number 12 of the campaign here on Saturday. C.J. Abrams moved line inning north of a 265. He's been able to do a nice job. And then you've got on the flip side an L.A. Dodgers team that they are the Death Star with regards to their lineup. 6.1 runs per contest. Teoscar Hernandez has been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers. Will Smith was able to get jiggy with it tonight for his 9th home run of the season. He's up to north of 400 on base. Freddie Freeman, just a scourge below a 400 on base. He's able to give you good power as well. You know what you're going to get out of Andy Páez and company as well. So, I mean, it's an interesting spot. You have those totals relatively high. It started out at a 9, starting to tick up to a 9.5. I do like the over here. And like I said, I was willing to lay up to a minus 140 with the Dodgers run line, which I thought was a pretty big number. Now that we're seeing this go past north of a minus 150, we can get a plus 140 on the Nationals run line. That's where I'm going to be looking on that front, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eaps Peterson, here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we take a look at the early game on this baseball Sunday, as this one starts at 11:35 a.m. Eastern. If you're out here out east, you get breakfast in baseball, 8:35 a.m. This is 9:61, 9:62 on the card. The gosh darn New York Yankees are going to be playing us to the Baltimore Orioles. Dean Kramer goes for the O's, and Will Warren hopes to not be worn out for the Yankees. And for the Yankees, about minus 175, minus 180 favorites. They neighbored about plus 160, plus 165 on Baltimore. Total on this game is 9.5 in most spots. And this is another game that it has a high total, but I'm willing to go over because I don't have faith in either of these pitchers. Like, I recognize that Will Warren has a fielding independent that's darn near 2 points lower than his ERA. ERA is north of 5. Fielding independent is sub-3.5. He's been getting about 11.7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he gives up 4 walks per 9 innings. Now, to his credit, he keeps the ball in the yard, giving up 0.8 home runs per 9 innings, but he gives up, like, a lot of, for lack of a better term, doubles power. And for the Baltimore Orioles, overall for the season, this has been a bottom 10 team in terms of runs per game, but all of a sudden, they are really climbing up as you get back Jordan Westberg, you bring back Colton Cowser. That helps you out quite a bit, and in the way that Gunnar Henderson has been reliable in terms of moving line, getting on base, sitting north of 270. That's nice. Now, Adley Rutschman has just been a mess for about 12 months now. You don't know what you're going to get out of him, but Ryan Ahern is moving the line. Double-figure amount of bombs. He's been able to give you north of a 370 on base. Flip side for the New York Yankees. Finally, they busted through on Saturday. Like a man, that was an almighty struggle the last week and a half or so. They had scored three runs or fewer in seven out of their last eight games. They had that 30-inning shutout streak, so that was not great, but Aaron Judge has been tremendous. I mean, funks happen in the baseball season. I think that this was just a very weird outlier for the New York Yankees, and it feels like they just have one of these every single year. There's just, with every single baseball team, I don't care how good or bad you are, at some point you just hit a big giant ditch. You just hit some place where you just forget how to play baseball for about a week or so. That was the case for the New York Yankees. Now, for the New York Yankees, you've got Trent Grisham, who's been able to give you 15 home runs to help out Aaron Judge, who's been so amazing. I feel like a little bit of the reason why we did see the Yankees struggle as well is that Paul Goldschmidt has been moved the line a little bit less as well. He's not a home run hitter, unlike what he was in the beginning part of his career, but he had been, for the longest time, given the team north of a 375/380 on base. That has slipped up a little bit, and I mean, Ben Rice not necessarily getting on base the way that he did towards the beginning part of the season as well, so it's a little bit of an issue for you, but I mean, overall, I do take a look at the spot for the New York Yankees, and should they be a favorite? Yes, Dean Kramer has an ERA that's north of a 490, but fielding event is actually a little bit lower than that. Only getting about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's been able to cut down on the walks to fewer than 2.8 walks per 9 innings, giving up a little bit of hard contact, not as bad as it was towards the beginning part of his career. And you do have two bullpens that are a little bit of an issue. For the Yankees, getting back Luke Weaver is big because Devin Williams has been terrible. Like, man, that's not been great. But, I mean, they've had some nice finds with some like a Yuri De Los Santos being able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Fernando Cruz has been relatively solid. And for the Orioles, you got Felix Bautista, Brian Baker, Keegan Aiken give you a sub-3.5 ERA. And everyone else has been garbage. You've got Gregory Soto alongside Anthony Dominguez looking a little bit better right now. But when you have to trust in guys like Andrew Kittredge and company, it's not been great, to say the least. So I do like this total over. So I told 9.7 and just this big of a plus number in general. I mean, it just is tempting me to take the Orioles. Right now, I'm seeing a lot of, like, plus 165s out there. If we can get up to, like, a plus 170, which by first pitch, I do think that we do so. Going to be taking a look at that Orioles money line. Slash, if you're looking at the run line, you have a get a run and a half for about minus 125. If we could get that down to about a minus 118, we'll be willing to entertain that market as well. And we're going to entertain this as well as for the LA Angels. They got the job done on Saturday against the Houston Astros. This by a count of 9-1. I do not think that lightning strikes twice. This is 969, 970 on the card as the Angels play host to the Houston Astros. Ryan Gusto is on the bump for the Astros, and the professor, Kyle Hendricks, hopes to not get schooled for the Angels. Dodgers game is 9, and for the Astros, right around about minus 118, minus 125 is that number. Small plus number, about plus 105, plus 110 on the Angels. For the professor, Kyle Hendricks, really good start last time out. He caught the Yankees at just the right time when he was able to deliver 6 scoreless innings. For Kyle Hendricks, though, he's still giving you north of a 4-5 ERA. He's still giving up 1.3 plus home runs per 9 innings. Doesn't give up a lot of walks, but 6 strikeouts per 9 innings, backed up by an Angels bullpen that entered the night on Saturday, 27th in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Hunter Strickland has been solid. He has not given up really an earned run because he gave up a run on Friday in the extra innings that was unearned, but I mean, he's been good. And everyone else in the bullpen, Ryan Zephyrian, Kenley Jansen, Brock and Roll Burke, all these guys have been giving you north of a 4 ERA, just less than tremendous. And for the Astros, that's a big key. They entered in this day on Saturday, top 4 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Brian King, Brian Abreu, Josh Hader, you just go down the list of these guys, give you a sub-3 ERA, and it's absolutely tremendous. And for the Astros, all of a sudden, Isak Paredes has been able to give you 15-plus home runs after Jose Altuve was rough to begin the season. He's been able to do a nice job as well. And flip side for the LA Angels, all-or-nothing team. They are a top-3 team in the big leagues in terms of home runs out of per at-bat basis. They're a bottom three team in terms of their on-base percentage as well. So you're either going to get everything or you're going to get nothing. And Mr. Ryan Gusto, 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. I think that he pitches with a little bit of gusto. And do you think that you get yourself a nice high-scoring expose? I set the Astros at a minus 149. I like them on the money line. And I'm going to be in on the over as well. And coming up next, we've got ourselves a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. We have to look at that on the flip side here on Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.